This morning's scripture comes from Mark's Gospel, chapter 13. I'll be reading the entire chapter 13, and I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." And then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is the beginning of the birth pangs. As for you yourselves, beware, for they will hand you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings because of me, as a testimony to them. And the good news must first be proclaimed to all nations. When they bring you to trial and hand you over, do not worry beforehand about what you are to say, but say whatever is given you at that time, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated by all because of my name, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. But when you see the disconsolating sacrilege set up where it ought not to be, let the reader understand, then those in Judea must flee to the mountains. The one on the housetop must not go down or enter the house to take anything away. The one in the field must not turn back to get a coat. Woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing infants in those days. Pray that it may not be in winter. For in those days there will be suffering such as has not been from the beginning of the creation that God created until now. No, and never will be. If the Lord had not cut short those days, no one would be saved. But for the sake of the elect whom he chose, he has cut short those days. And if anyone says to you at that time, 'Look, here is the Messiah,' or, 'Look, there he is,' do not believe it. False messiahs and false prophets will appear and produce signs and omens to lead astray, if possible, the elect. But be alert. I have already told you everything. But in those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away till all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be aware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cock crow, or at dawn. Or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all. Keep awake. May God bless the reading, hearing, and application of God's holy word for this morning. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard these words of Jesus in Mark's gospel, words that can be frightening at times, but also words of encouragement. Lord, how much we want to know the day and the hour and the time. But Jesus says even he does not know that. It's up to you. Lord, in this season of Advent, we are getting ready for Christ's coming. While most of us do not believe it is his ultimate coming, we are celebrating his coming once again to this earth. Lord, in these moments together today, we pray that our hearts and our minds may be open to receive a word from you that may help us in our daily living and to be more faithful in our discipleship. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if any of you have seen one of these or if you have one of these. I got it this week as a prop for my sermon today, but I'd seen them, but I didn't know much about them. It's called a fidget spinner, if you didn't know, and it's one of the hottest toys in 2017. It's also called a stress reliever. I don't get it. Personally, I don't get this. It relieves stress, but anyways, that's what it's supposed to be doing. This little device is, it rotates, and I guess it's supposed to take your mind off your worries as you're spinning this and watching it twirl, and it's like, okay, that's not a mutt, but they're relatively inexpensive, so there are a lot of kids. They're popular with kids, and they come in multiple colors and sometimes multicolors. And so many children that have them have multiple copies of these. And these toys have generated controversy, though, that some schools have banned them as a distraction. And I can understand that as a teacher trying to teach, and you have all your students there, playing with their toys. Even when teaching Sunday school, it was like, put your toys in your pocket until later. And then imagine what that is, a daytime school. But over time, this fad, which it is, will fade, if it has not already faded some this year. And the fidget spinner will gather dust along with hula hoops and troll dolls, Cabbage Patch Kids, Tickle Me Elmos, Beanie Babies, and Jelly Bracelets, to name just a few. And it's not that fads are limited to children. Adults are equally susceptible to fads. And in fact, I know adults that have one of these fidget spinners. But also, for a six-month period back in the mid-1970s, 1.5 million pet rocks were sold. These smooth stones were marketed in cardboard boxes with a nest of straw and breathing holes. Now remember, this is a rock, but it was being touted as being alive. And sane, what we might label normal people, teachers and lawyers and stockbrokers and engineers and all different kinds of professions, went to work and they had their pet rock sitting on their desk. Still more recently, within the last 20 years, the following fads have come and most have gone, such as Razor scooters, Livestrong wristbands, WWJD bracelets, Heelys, speed dating, cupcake stores, Angry Birds, Words with Friends, Cronuts, Duck Dynasty, 50 Shades of Grey, planking, boy bands, Furby, Pogs, and the Macarena. Now, some of those are still practiced, some are popular with some, but all of these things have been described as fads. So we might ask, well, what is a fad? And the dictionary definitions include this: an intense but short-lived fashion or craze, or a temporary fashion, a notion or manner of conduct, especially one followed enthusiastically by a group of people. So we think about in society, and you probably can think of other fads that have come and gone over your lifetime. But we have to think now, have there been fads about the Bible as well? And yes, there have been, especially in the theme of Christ's return. There have been a lot of predictions that have not come true. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus says, "The stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory." That's what Jesus gives us as the indication of his return. And then the Bible instructs us to keep our eyes open, for when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near. The apocalyptic elements of Scripture, those parts of Scripture that talk about end times, especially in the book of Daniel, in the book of Revelation, and also some of the words of Jesus, have been seized by some theologians and preachers in an almost faddish fashion. There are several examples in history, and just over the last 150 years, the Millerites in the early 1840s, who took to the mountains by the thousands to await the return of Christ. A little more recently, some of us may remember the frenzy in the early 1970s that attended the publication of the book, The Late Great Planet Earth. You may recall the Branch Davidians of 1993, or the Left Behind books and movies that were produced between 1995 and 2007. This list only scratches the surface of apocalyptic or end-time fever that has raged through society over the years. More recently, in 2011, the end times and the return of Christ caught the attention of the world again. A radio preacher named Harold Camping studied the Bible and came to the conclusion that the world would end on May 21st, 2011. After sharing this prediction with his listeners, he used millions of dollars of their donations to put his message on 5,000 billboards across the country. Camping estimated that 7 billion people would die. Well, May 21st came and went with no return of Christ. Camping's followers expressed astonishment and disappointment, and some denounced him as a false prophet, just as Jesus had predicted. He amended the date to October 21st, and the world still did not end. But it really didn't matter. The fad for the fever, that had subsided. Camping should have read Jesus' words in verse 32 of today's scripture. "But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." Clearly, fads do come and they go, whether they involve fidget spinners or biblical prophecies. But the truth is, nothing really endures. Jesus himself said absolutely everything will pass away, including heaven and earth. But he goes on to say in that statement, in the same verse of Scripture, that there is one thing that will never fade and never disappear, and that is the Word of God. He promises, "My words will not pass away." The Word of the Lord is our solid foundation in an ever-changing world. So that every day we need to keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come. Our challenge is to move from changeable and temporary fads to unchangeable and everlasting foundation. As we begin the season of Advent, let's build our lives on something more solid than a pet rock or a fidget spinner. In a Sermon on the Mount, Jesus offers words that are foundational for Christian living. Mark, the gospel writer, tells us that Jesus went throughout Galilee proclaiming the message. But then Mark skips over three chapters of teachings that appear in the gospel according to Matthew. So it is in Matthew's gospel that we hear Jesus saying these words: "Do not resist an evildoer. Give your cloak. Go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Such words are difficult to hear and to follow. But the unchangeable and eternal words of Jesus point to a different reality, that God makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. And in this reality, everyone, good and bad, righteous and unrighteous, is a child of God. God loves all of his children and provides for them, whether they are saints or sinners. Our responsibility as followers of Jesus is not to follow fads that tend to lift some people up and bring others down. Instead, we are to try to love other people as God loves them, seeing the image of God in people who may look very ungodly to us. "Give your cloak," says Jesus. "Go also the second mile. Show your neighbors that you love them so much that you will literally give them the coat off your back. Demonstrate that you are seeing God so clearly in them that you will walk a great distance with them." Such generosity is not faddish. It's foundational. "Give to everyone who begs from you," says Jesus. "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." In each of these commands, we are being challenged to see other people in a new light, in the light of Jesus' words. As we walk in this way, we begin to see our neighbors as children of God and as people who carry inside them the image of God. None of this is easy. Jesus didn't promise us an easy road, but it is the key to following the words that last forever. What Jesus says is never faddish. Instead, it is foundational for Christian living. Fads, by definition, fade. Indeed, everything is doomed to disappear. Everything except the words of Jesus. When everything else goes out of style, his teachings are worth keeping. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we pray that we may live on your words, that we may not get caught up in the societal fads of the day, that we will not place our trust in those, that we will only put our trust in you. Jesus, you know how tempting the world can be, how easy it is to get distracted and pulled away. But Lord, we pray that during this season of Advent, it may be a time of refocusing our lives, of preparing for your coming once again into our hearts and into our homes, into our communities. Lord, help us to base your words as our foundation for living this day and every day forward. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your words and for your sacrifice. It's in your name that we ask this. Amen.